The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
How dare you, little jabroni, come on to the Rock Show. Come on to the People's Show. Come on to the Premier Show, SmackDown, and run your mouth about how you're the WWE Champion and run your mouth about how you're the game. Well, The Rock says, if you are the game, then quite frankly, you need to go back to the drawing board because your game absolutely sucks! The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says, The Rock says.
Hello, and welcome to SmackDown Matters. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined once again by Miss J to the Max. Hi, J.
Hello. Happy SummerSlam week to everyone.
Yes. This will be the final podcast before SummerSlam. So when you listen to this, after you listen to this, please use the hashtag Summer of Slams starting at Sunday p.m., 7 p.m. Sunday evening to share your commentary with color. SmackDown Matters is a part of the CSPN. You can find us on the web at cspn.us. You can also find SmackDown Matters underneath the WrestleCast banner on all podcasting platforms. All you have to do is just search the WrestleCast. That's the CSPN. Subscribe to the WrestleCast with the logo of the New Day holding the WrestleCast sign, and you will be listening to SmackDown Matters each and every week. So, this was the debut, Miss Jade, of the new look WWE television presentation, as they have moved all of the main roster production to the Amway Center, the home of the Orlando Magic, what WWE has branded the Thunderdome. So, the show starts with some thunder. We get a nice little opening, SmackDown theme, focusing on the new arena. The pyro is there as the Thunderdome is shown in all its glory. We start the show with Vince McMahon in the middle of the ring. He welcomes everyone to Friday Night SmackDown as the virtual audience, comes alive. He says you'll never see it coming. All of a sudden,
Vince McMahon he saves some money cutting all those people off the roster, so he's able to budget for pyro,
the pyro
this year.
I'm pretty sure that Saudi Arabia money that they've been getting, it could have funded the pyro too, but yeah, the cuts also help. Vince is cut off by the lights going out. They come back on, all red, and the Fiend walks out as he takes his time to get to the ring. He laughs at Vince McMahon, trapping him between the Fiend and the ropes. That's when Braun's music hits, and he comes down to the ring and stares down the Fiend's lantern, and he enters the ring. All of a sudden, Vince is nowhere to be found. He just disappeared. The lights flicker, and the audience is back, and Braun and Bray are face to face. But then Retribution shows up. There's like 12 of them. They circle the ring. The Fiend stares Braun down. Braun smiles as the Fiend nods. He waves goodbye, and the lights go out again. When they come back on, the Fiend is gone. Braun is left there alone, and Retribution attacks Braun all at once. And then, of course, they beat him down.
Are we going to get anywhere with Retribution, or is it still? I know WWE has admitted that it's just a work in progress, and it's kind of a directionless storyline at this point. They don't even know who's going to be in Retribution.
Yeah, still WIP. Mm-hmm.
All right.
The SmackDown locker room comes down to fight the cause. Big E, Gable, Matt Riddle, Sheamus, Corbin, John Morrison, Otis. Basically, everyone, heel and babyface, are here. The Rasta makes short work of Retribution, sending them all out of the ring. And The Miz shows up after all the fighting is done.
Of course he did.
So people are starting to speculate that maybe The Miz is the one that may be
behind Retribution.
Yeah, allowing Retribution to get in the building and stuff. Because, I mean, he came down there super late.
Of course he did.
Drew Gulak helps Braun stand up and, claps him on the back encouragingly. Braun turns around and knocks out Drew Gulak. Jey Uso gets tossed out of the ring by Braun. Braun leaves the ring and he rips up his shirt on his way up the ramp. Big E versus Sheamus is our first match of the evening. Sheamus hits the white noise for two. So what happened was, once this match started, none of the roster left the ringside. So everybody was still standing around the ring, you know, just in case Retribution decided they wanted to come back and disrupt the match. So outside the ring, Baron Corbin hits Matt Riddle with a right hand. We get a melee of sorts with everyone outside trying to hold Baron Corbin back. Sheamus looks down at the distraction, and that allows Big E to roll Sheamus up and get the win. 1, 2, 3.
I had a dream last night that Xavier Woods returned.
Okay.
And he turned on Big E. I forget who Big E was fighting. Big E was in a match, and Xavier came out of nowhere and hit him with some, I don't know what the finishing move was. And, Big E lost the match because of Xavier. It was really sad, and I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, hopefully you didn't have deja vu and you didn't just, just take us down a trip in the glitch of the Matrix.
I hope not.
Jeff Hardy is backstage, and his leg is hurt. He asked the doc for a leg brace. He said that someone must have fell on him from behind during the melee when they were out there battling Retribution. Further backstage, the Lucha House Party are walking. They're hyped for their match coming up, when out of nowhere, Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro attack them from behind. Kalisto yells at them to get up as Cesaro and Shinsuke walk away laughing. So that leads us to the Lucha House Party in the form of Grand Metalik and Lindsay Dorado versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro. We get a tag from Cesaro. He dives over Shinsuke. He catches Lindsay with the sunset flip. Lindsay reverses into a pinning combination of his own for a one count. Lindsay tries for a possible destroyer, but Cesaro pushes the momentum in his favor, and he gets to roll up, and he gets to 1, 2, 3 as the tag team champions are your winners, Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro. Cesaro is so good. He works so well with these guys.
Mm-hmm. He does. He works well with just about everybody.
Yeah, there's nothing that he can't do with these guys, all of their moves. Grand Metalik in this match had a huge botch that basically took him out of this last little part right here. He tried for like Hurricanrana, like he jumped over the top rope and tried to like Hurricanrana Cesaro, who was standing on the floor, but it was a little bit too ambitious. Yeah,
it's been botch city this week, because I was watching, not to divert from SmackDown, but when I was watching NXT on Wednesday, was it Johnny Gargano?
Oh, yeah.
And Ridgeland Ridge somebody.
Holland. Ridge Holland.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, that didn't look good.
Yeah, it's amazing. Johnny Gargano, like I said on NXT cast, at the least didn't have a concussion, and at the worst didn't break his neck.
Yeah, because that looked pretty bad.
It looked really bad. After the match, Kalisto is pissed. He removes his jacket and runs into the ring. He asks Lindsay, what the? Then he shoves Lindsay. Grand Metalik is in to stop the fight. Kalisto gets shoved down. Grand Metalik stands in between the two friends as they continue to yell and berate each other. So it looks like there's a little dissension in the Lucha House Party.
Oh, house party finna be over. Record scratch. Police are here.
We get a recap of the beginning of the show. And we see AJ Styles kick Jeff Hardy in the back of the leg while Retribution was attacking the roster. So now we figure out what happened to Jeff Hardy. AJ's backstage. He's walking to the backstage area, and he sees Sasha and Bayley. He stops to chat with them. They talk about how they're all champions, and they clap their belts together.
They're so silly.
Yeah, they did like a cheers with the title. Oh. My boo, Kayla Braxton, is backstage. She's checking
on. Hey, Kayla.
She's checking on Mandy as we return. Mandy says it's been a rough week. You heard about that, right?
No.
Okay. Wait, the Sonya Deville thing?
Oh, yeah, because of the attempted stalker. The burglary and the stalker. I did hear about that.
Sonya and Mandy are staying together for, you know, the quarantine and being able to, you know, make these shows. So it was Mandy Rose who was in there too, and the guy was coming after Sonya to help Mandy. That was his rationale.
Oh, this my is, God.
Like, real life. Like, he had zip ties.
Lord Jesus. I remember I read about that, and I was like, but I didn't know the reasoning, but he took the storyline too seriously.
Right. Okay.
He's one of those ones that will fight you if you say, you know, it's scripted, right?
Yes.
He lived in his mama's basement.
More than likely, probably.
Yeah.
I hate to characterize wrestling fans like that, but yeah.
Just saying, the marks can be a little, a lot, a little too much.
So Mandy says it's been a rough week. She knows how Sonya feels, and despite all the bad and ugly, she needs to believe that there is still good in this world, and she wants to speak directly to Sonya. She says they've been through a lot, and so much of the good and beautiful they've been through together. She is choosing today to believe that Sonya, that the Sonya she knows is still out there. She doesn't know how she's feeling going into SummerSlam, but the way Mandy is feeling, she wants to put it all behind them and get back to where they were. She chooses to see the good in Sonya.
Nope, we don't need you back with Sonya, Mandy. Nope. Daddy DeVille got this. She needs a solo run.
Sasha and Bayley are here. Corey is in the ring to interview them. He brings up SummerSlam and Asuka taking on both of them. Sasha accuses Graves of stirring the pot. Bayley says that they are logical and everything they do is for a reason, and that's why they are the champions. They have all the gold. Graves says Bayley doing all the heavy lifting by facing Asuka first seems illogical. Bayley says that she was just suggesting to go first. Sasha is capable of going first as well. Sasha is clearly bothered by this, asking Bayley if she's trying to volunteer her again. And Bayley says they are all on the same page and they are good. There is no one that can touch either of them. Out comes Naomi to challenge that sentiment. Naomi slides all the way down the ramp with the mic. Oh, this was epic. This slide.
This was because that's our boo.
That was one of her best ones ever. She says that she's got an idea. She will face the both of them tonight. Sasha laughs maniacally, and then accepts. Naomi asks, who's going to be first? Graves says that they could do a beat-the-clock challenge to see who faces Asuka first. Naomi again wonders which one wants to go first, then drop kicks the both of them.
Get him, Naomi.
So our first matchup is Sasha Banks versus Naomi in a beat-the-clock challenge.
And now the full Nelson by Naomi.
That'll jam your tailbone.
Beautiful pinning combination by Naomi. And again, another one by Naomi as Bayley looks on. Naomi just rolling Sasha Banks around the ring. Shoulders down yet again, and Banks has to kick out at two. 46 seconds and counting into this matchup.
Don't disrespect my best friend like that.
Yeah, Bayley. And Graves, once again, you at your best in the ring, being sarcastic and stirring the pot between these two.
How dare you question my journalism abilities, Cole? I was out there as an honest journalist.
Banks sent outside the ring, which does not bode well for Sasha because the clock continues to tick. Sasha must win this match as quickly as she can. Naomi up over the top to take out Banks.
If she can.
Exactly.
I do nothing.
This is going to be a big test for Naomi in her own right. Say she does get past Sasha Banks. Bayley, the SmackDown Women's Champion, awaits. This is just as big of a test for Naomi as it is for anybody.
And how about if Naomi knocks off one of these two individuals, perhaps get a title opportunity down the road.
Not to mention shatter that superstar's momentum 2 days before SummerSlam. Could you imagine what it would do to the psyche of Sasha Banks or Bayley to lose tonight?
Cover now by Banks, hook of the leg, and a kick out. Bayley tapped on Raw. What do you think that did for her psyche? Again, Banks into the cover and a kick out.
And cover.
Roll through now, Banks. Staying out of harm's way thus far, but again, the clock continues to tick. Hung up on the top rope again by Naomi.
Oof, what a kick by Naomi. The athleticism for the world to see.
What a kick by Naomi. Now cover, hook of the leg on Banks. And a kick out at two. Match has gone over 3 minutes now.
And this could be a classic case of overconfidence from both Banks and Bayley. If I were either of those two, I would be resting.
And look at Sasha now rolling up. Naomi's shoulders are down. Is it enough to kick out at two?
I would be resting as much as possible, keeping myself as mentally and physically prepared for Asuka as one can be.
Well, you didn't help matters much.
How dare you?
And now a takedown by a
Sasha Banks.
Bank statement in the middle of the ring. This is Sasha Banks' submission move. The bank statement. Naomi is locked in the middle of the ring. What's Naomi going to do? She's going to tap.
Yes, yes, y'all. Here is your winner by submission, the Raw Women's Champion.
And Bayley wasted little time. She understands the time to beat is 3:39. Bayley has to beat Naomi in this match in less than 3 minutes 39 seconds, or else she will defend her championship first at SummerSlam.
Bayley just greatly helped her own cause with the attack before the match officially starts.
This was short, but it was real good. Because
they need to put my boo. First of all, they need to give her a better rivalry than Lacey Evans.
Very true.
And then she needs they need a second women's title. Like the women's intercontinental champion or something. I don't know. That's a mouthful.
They need to figure out how to establish some tag teams that can actually vie for the women's tag team championships and not let it be like a every 3 month thing where they defend them.
Right. And they just randomly put some people together.
Right. Right.
I like to see, I keep going back to NXT, Shotzi and Rhea. I know WWE has other plans for them, but I'm just saying they were a good tag team.
Yeah. Based off TakeOver, I think, the way she was dressed, I think Rhea Ripley might be headed over to the dark side.
Oh, I'm here for it. I like heel Ripley.
Bayley versus Naomi. Naomi rushes the corner, but Bayley comes out hard with the clothesline. She covers her up for a two count. Bayley hits the ropes. She goes for the knee, but Naomi sidesteps her, hits the rear view, and pins Bayley for the 1-2-3. So that means that Bayley will be defending her title first against Asuka at SummerSlam. Sasha has the wryest of smiles on her face when this happens. Then she regroups and heads into the ring to check on Bayley. Asuka comes out to laugh at Bayley and Sasha in Japanese. Sasha runs up the ramp to attack Asuka, and Asuka kicks her in the head. Asuka rushes down to the ring to beat up Bayley as well. She kicks Bayley out of the ring. Bayley heads up the ramp, then she stops, goes back, grabs her belt, and then runs right past the fallen Sasha on the ground and leaves. So this was great. They did a lot of advancement to the, you know, eventual Sasha versus Bayley, you know, turn on each other. But yeah, if you could have saw that smile that Sasha had on her face when Bayley got beat, as classic.
I know that smile.
Definitely going to be GIFs and memes all over the place on that one. Backstage, Jeff Hardy has his knee brace on, and he's testing out to see if he can go against AJ Styles in their Intercontinental title match later in the night. Backstage, Kayla asks Sonya if she has a response to what Mandy Rose said. Sonya has a message for the entire world. So Kayla leaves, and Dana runs up to Sonya and apologizes for what she went through this week. Sonya says it's nothing that she can't handle, and then she slapped the fire out of Dana Brooke.
I saw that. That was a slap heard around the world.
I mean, good gracious.
Slap that plastic surgery right off her face. Woo, baby.
Sonya comes out and asks for the production to cut her music. Sonya says she gets it. Mandy is second-guessing her own challenge, which is exactly what Sonya said she was going to do. What does Mandy want? She will face her one way or another, but since clearly she's unbothered by Sonya cutting her hair, and everyone here knows that Sonya doesn't give a damn if Sonya is bald or not, let's just up the ante. She says it's going to be a no DQ match, and the loser will leave WWE, because what she has realized is that hair or no hair, she is sick of looking at Mandy's face. She says, she tells Mandy, wipe the tears and bring the A-game.
Aw, sookie, sookie now. Let's go, Daddy DeVille.
Sonya DeVille, A, dresses like I wish Keith Lee would when he was a champion in the suit and everything, looking like,
right. You
know, like she belongs on the, you know, upper echelon of things. And she is an excellent talker. Why were they holding this back for so long?
Listen, what did Maurice and I say? Future WWE SmackDown or Raw Women's Champion. We saw it. We synced it a long time ago. We're glad everybody else is on board now, including Vince McMahon.
Yeah, yeah. We have a video package that covers the recent weeks of the love triangle, or just the story between Braun, the Fiend, and Alexa. You get a sit-down talk with Nikki Cross, who wants to talk about Tuesday. She says that when she spoke to Alexa, she seemed off. She says she was just a bit different. She talks and acts like Alexa, but the Alexa she knows is warm, caring, and funny, and that person on Tuesday is not Alexa. It scares Nikki because she feels like something terrible is about to happen. This was a really good little promo. It wasn't that long, but Nikki Cross wasn't acting like crazy Nikki, but she was like real subdued. Nice.
Because she's worried about her friend.
Really, really good. Daniel Bryan is gracious enough to send us a little iPhone promo about AJ showing us just what kind of Intercontinental Champion he is. He hopes that by the end of WWE's first night in the Thunderdome, Jeff Hardy can give us the Intercontinental Champion that we truly deserve. So that leads us into Jeff Hardy versus AJ Styles for the Intercontinental title. AJ kicks the back of the knee. He rolls Jeff into the calf crusher. He pulls back on the leg. Jeff crawls towards the ropes, and he finally reaches the bottom rope, so AJ has to break the hold. AJ then looks for the Styles clash, but Jeff knees AJ in the head with the knee brace. We get a twist of fate. Jeff crawls towards the corner. He gets to the top rope. He hits the Swanton Bomb. He covers AJ for the 1, 2, 3.
Tree.
And the new Intercontinental Champion is Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy. Hit the music.
Jeff gets an interview with Kayla in the middle of the ring, and he says a year ago, he was in a dark place. Life will always be a challenge. He stands here with hope, though, and he hopes that things will get better. And as he's continuing his promo, he got the Oscar treatment. Because they played his music and told him to wrap that shit up, B.
Look, we on a time schedule, buddy. We not paying no extra rent for staying in here past our 2 hours.
Yeah, on Fox, they have to be like off the air at like 9:58.
It ain't like USA where they get that extra 15-minute cushion.
Nah, they actually USA cut that out too. Now they go off right at 11.
Wow.
Yeah.
COVID.
Well, that's what happens.
COVID cuts.
That's what happens when your ratings ain't adding up no more.
Yeah.
It's like, we ain't giving y'all 15, another quarter of another hour for these lower ratings in this third hour.
Oh, right. Because we could be watching Grizzly Knows Best right at 11 o'clock. Just saying.
Backstage, AJ is yelling at Joseph Park. Kayla runs up to him, and AJ screams that Jeff cheated. He says he hit him in the face with that knee brace, and it's the only reason why Jeff won. He yells more at his analyst, and he says he paid Park good money and bought him that stupid tie that he's wearing for this.
That's the thanks he gets. AJ don't deserve that.
Bray Wyatt is here for the Firefly Funhouse. He wants us to come closer. He wants to tell us a little something. He says, I love you. He says, not to be fooled. Love can be a very terrible thing. It's just a way to trick you into an emotional and financial burden. It can make the most glorious angel crash down with broken wings. Too much love can turn a beautiful field of sunflowers into a grotesque wasteland. Bray wants to use Braun and Alexa Bliss as examples. Firefly Theater presents Braun and Alexa. So we get a reenactment of the promo from last week. In a parody type way, starring Huskus the Pig as Braun and Rambling Rabbit as Alexa.
Oh, Lord.
Bray yells cut and tells him to get lost. He says that love can only lead to pain and suffering. The best thing we can do is be more like him. You know, the being that is built on rage and fueled by anger. He cannot wait.
Be more like the Fiend or more like Bray? Because if we being more like Bray, it's questionable.
He means the Fiend.
Okay, because I know the Fiend ain't took nobody's, you know, or he ain't, you know, cheat on his wife and make babies with his coworker.
Two.
Well, that's right, two.
So, yeah,
we got a whole new family.
You know, never get a chance to use the hashtag say yes to JoJo anymore when it comes to WWE.
Mm-mm. JoJo is not, I don't know. Do you think she would come back to, does she even have a contract with WWE anymore?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Anyway, continue.
Bray takes a second to smell the air, and he says, "What took you so long?" In comes Braun to attack Bray. He punches him down, then beats him down. He yells that Bray is coming with him because he's not finished with him. He drags Bray by his feet out of the frame as we go to commercial. So we come back to SmackDown, and Michael Cole is telling us that there is a backstage brawl. So we head to the back, and Braun has Bray in his grasp. They're fighting around the backstage area. They get to a loading dock, and Braun chokeslams Bray off of the truck loading dock. We cut to Braun, then back to Bray, who was laid out on the cement. An ambulance comes, as well as a bunch of the refs and agents, to help Bray. So Bray gets stretchered out. He gets put in the ambulance. Adam Pearce slaps the ambulance to go on. The ambulance starts rolling, and then it stops as Jamie Noble and Adam Pearce continue to scream. The ambulance begins to back up. It appears to be full of fog. The inside goes red. Everyone stares at the back of the ambulance as it backs up. We turn towards the small crowd on top of the loading dock, and everyone is terrified. We go back to the ambulance, and the Fiend is standing there at the entrance of the ambulance. He stares into the camera, he sticks his tongue out, then laughs. And Michael Cole with the quote of the night, "Wow, it's him." And that's how your SmackDown ended.
Wait, that was quote of the night. I thought it was going to be something profound. How Bray changed clothes that fast? I get out of that sweater with the button up.
It's the same tricks that Beyonce be using and James Brown. It's probably like
witchcraft.
The size too big, so they can just slip it on or slip it off.
Bray Wyatt.
This was an okay edition of SmackDown. I won't say it was as, you know, as
yeah, for the going home show, it was kind of
as it
no. It was mediocre.
Yeah. It was a good show. It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. It was just good. The Sasha Bailey thing, definitely a highlight. Jeff Hardy winning the Intercontinental title was kind of out of the blue. I don't think anybody really thought there was going to be a title change, but there was. The actual look of the arena looked really cool. It does look like the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
They have the big wall of just fans. But the thing is, like, they're there, but it's like there's no noise from them, so it's still kind of a kind of sterile environment. They may decide to pump in some noise tonight for SummerSlam, maybe, but the overall look of the arena looked really cool. And like I said, the pyro and all the things that they added did give it a totally brand new feel.
Yeah, I was gonna say it'd be cool if they, you know, had some pipe some noise in, or I didn't know that the fans, you couldn't actually hear them.
No, you could just see them, but you couldn't hear them. So now I'm going to get your thoughts on the SummerSlam card. Who you think is going to come out victorious? We're not going to really play who you got, but I just want to get your thoughts on some of the matches and who you're looking forward to being successful in SummerSlam. So we have
Apollo Crews
versus MVP for the United States Championship.
Man, put the MVP such a good talker. I want him to have a championship so he can talk smack even more every week. But it's not about what I want. I say MVP.
Okay.
Might put it back on him.
The Street Profits are going to face Andrade and Angel Garza defending their Raw Tag Team titles.
If NXT is any indication of what's going to happen to the black men, I'm just going to go ahead and say that Angel Garza and Andrade are going to win. Street Profits have had the championship since COVID started.
Yeah.
Since the pandemic started. Yeah. It might be time for a title change.
Dominic Guerrero is going to face Seth Rollins in a street fight.
Seth Rollins.
Okay. And what was supposed to be a hair versus hair match, but has now changed into a no disqualification loser leaves WWE match, Sonya Deville versus Mandy Rose.
Couldn't get anybody to sign off on getting their hair cut, huh? Sonya, always.
All right. Sasha Banks is defending her Raw Women's Championship against Asuka.
Asuka.
Bayley is defending her SmackDown Women's Championship against Asuka.
Asuka, two straps.
Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt. Universal Championship match, and this is going to be a Falls Count Anywhere match now after what happened on SmackDown.
Bray, you got to put the strap back on him.
And finally, our main event of the evening, Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton for the WWE title.
Let's see, how many heels do we have right now with championships?
None.
That's toss-up. Oh, Randy Orton. Randy Orton.
All right. So
the build-up is there. It's about to be Randy Orton.
Again, join us Sunday night, 7 p.m. as you listen to this. If you listen to this episode right when it drops, that'll be tonight at 7 p.m. Use the hashtag Summer of Slams to share your commentary with color with the hosts and fans of the WrestleCast. If you're watching the pre-show, use the hashtag Say No to Pre-Shows. Shout out to Miss Didi Jonay for that. And we look forward to SummerSlam, the biggest party of the summer, and what's going to happen leading us into Survivor Series and then Royal Rumble season. So definitely the midway point of the year, calendar year for WWE. And we'll see if we have some major shifts as far as the championship belts go and what dramas come out after these matches leading up to our next big pay-per-view. We do have Payback next week, so it could be just a bunch of return matches, so all of these matches could end up being ran back next week, and we'll be talking about mostly the same thing again, I guess.
Yes, we'll be here next week. We'll be here tonight too.
That's right. All right, Miss Jade to the Max, at this point, I'll turn it over to you for your shout-outs and thank yous.
Thanks for having me once again. I like to shout out my Uncle Danny, who always falls asleep every time we start watching NXT, even though he loves it. But then he wakes up at like 2 o'clock in the morning and goes back and rewatches it. It happened yesterday. He fell asleep on the Keith Lee match. No, he fell asleep before the Keith Lee match. And so I go to sleep. And 3 o'clock in the morning, I hear the TV. I'm like, what is going on? And I hear like Beth Phoenix and
Corey
and
Graves.
All the comments, Corey Graves. I'm like, what is going on? Am I dreaming? No, he was watching Keith Lee match.
No wonder you were dreaming about Xavier Woods and Biggie.
Exactly. I heard wrestling playing in the living room. And then this morning he goes, man, that's messed up. He retained. And it wasn't even a good finishing move. I'm like, I know. It was mediocre. But I will say this. That ending shot of Karrion Kross and Scarlett with the fire, that was cold.
Yeah.
That was a smooth ending shot.
Scarlett giving us the Sable vibes with the black leather from head to toe.
I synced it.
Yeah.
Yep. But, yeah, so shout out to Uncle Danny and the whole WrestleCast crew for continue to show some love week in and week out. And to Don for having me today. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for getting up so early on your West Coast time to join me to record this episode before SummerSlam so we can get the people one last episode before the big event tonight. Give a shout out to Mo to the _ Reese, Miss Simi. Give a shout out to Shaolin Shogun, M.A., Sean, who joined me and Maurice on the Rawcast. Shout out to Miss Simi for helping me on the NXT cast. We've got a big week of programs. We're going to have the WrestleCast, which is the episodes after pay-per-view. So we'll be reviewing SummerSlam and Raw on the WrestleCast. That'll be episode 286. Then we'll have NXT cast. We'll be talking about the TakeOver and NXT TV following that with Miss Simi. We will also have a quick recap of AEW Dynamite that was on Saturday night instead of their usual Wednesday because the NBA playoffs. There's a lot of things that went down there, so be sure to catch us over on the Dark Match at patreon.com/CSPN Media. Become a patron, and then you can listen to the Dark Match each and every week. Please continue to support the podcast. Go to cspn.us, click on the tab that says keep our podcast free. Do some shopping over on Amazon buy some face masks. Use the CSPN.us before you go do that. Some of your purchase will come back to us to help keep the podcast free each and every week. Give a big shout out to everybody who was in the hashtag Cast Takeover live tweet on Saturday night. We definitely appreciated y'all. Everybody who retweets and shares the podcast on their Twitter feeds, Quantessential R. Give a big shout out to Samuel Kalunga as well, who joined us on this past week's NXT cast. It was really cool to talk NXT with Mr. NXT, Samuel Kalunga himself. Shout out to Classic. Shout out to Greg and his family. Hope everybody out there is doing well. So please continue to use the hashtags, share your commentary with color each and every week. And we will continue bringing you our commentary with color as well. So for Miss J to the Max, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. This has been SmackDown Matters. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Bye.
Just checking on. How are you doing? Kayla, to be honest, I still don't know. I mean, it's been a really rough week. SummerSlam is in 2 days, and I don't know what's going through Sonya's head. All I know is how I feel. And despite of all the bad and ugly I've seen, I need to believe that there's still good in this world. The world I want to live in. So Kayla, I need to speak directly to Sonya. Sonya. We've been through a lot, and I don't know if you know this, but so much of the good and beautiful, we've been through it together when we were best friends. So today, I'm choosing to believe that the Sonya I know, the Sonya that I have been inseparable with for the past 5 years, is still out there. So, I don't know how you're feeling heading into SummerSlam, into this vicious hair versus hair match, but the way I'm feeling, I say we put this all behind us and get back to where we were. Choose to see the good in you.
What do you want, Mandy? What is it that you want? Because you're gonna end up facing me one way or another. You can't get around that. It's gonna be me versus you at SummerSlam. But since clearly you're unbothered by the fact that I cut your hair, and since clearly everybody here knows that I don't give a damn whether I'm bald or not, why don't we up the ante a little bit? Why don't we raise the stakes for SummerSlam? It's gonna be me and you in that ring, but it's gonna be in a no disqualification match, and the loser is gonna leave WWE. Because what I realized is that hair or no hair, I'm sick of looking at your face. So you need to wipe those tears and bring your A game.